Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, the business podcast for smart people who appreciate the insights found in a good conversation. That guy sitting at the end of the proverbial bar is your host, David J.P. Fisher, but everyone around here just calls him D. Fish. He's an author, speaker, and business coach. Basically, he's a professional talker. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage, grab a seat, and join us for today's episode. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another interesting conversation with an interesting person. Today, the role of interesting person is being played by my friend, G. Mish. It's not really, his name's not G. Mish. It's Greg Michio. But the first time we ever met, I introduced myself as David Fisher, also known as D. Fish. He self-anointed himself, G. Mish. So I'm really excited to have him on the show. Greg is the founder, the head honcho, the chief person over at Windbound. They work with small marketing departments, especially manufacturers, to help provide content that's missing from their marketing currently. As he says, anybody can produce content, but small marketing departments don't have the resources to really produce content that's going to stand out and be strategically applied for search, for social, and all the different sales channels. And so that's what they do. And they do it very, very well. Greg, thanks for coming today.
Thank you, D. Fish.
That's right, D. Fish in the house. And D. Fish is also, while we're chatting, drinking a beer from our sponsors over at Urban Renewal Brewery. Ooh. I am drinking, again, their Kiss Kolsch, their Keep It Simple Stupid Kolsch. Mm. And it's very, very tasty. It's a good Kolsch, which is a perfect, nice, light, crisp beer. And I know that we're going to be talking about beers in just a little bit because you actually brought me to Madison to speak for a group up there. And you had the presentation in a brewery, which I have to admit, I loved. So thank you to Urban Renewal Brewery. And Greg, here's a question to kick us off.
Okay.
Content marketing, I think most people just think about it as, hey, we have to have these specific articles that have these search terms. It's very dry. We've got to try to drive Google Analytics to make some things happen. You've really brought a lot of creativity into that world, and I know into the work that you do for clients, but also the marketing you do for yourself. What role does creativity play in content marketing? It's a very small question, I know.
Yeah, it is. Well, my background, I was a copywriter in an ad agency when I started my career many moons ago. That was like the greatest job of all time, bar none. I remember actually reading a book that a copywriter wrote about copywriting, and he said, "You have the greatest job of all time. Don't blow it." It's essentially.
Okay.
Back in those days, it was, I was writing, and they still have agencies that do this, of course, but, I would write headlines and come up with the concept for a print ad, the 1 + 1 = 3, the headline and the photos gives you this whole, new effect. That was fun. I loved it. And, I kind of lean more to the creative side. So, I think it was right around 2007, I wisely decided to go freelance right before, the Great Recession kicked in. And, shrewd strategic move. A lot of that ad work dried up. A lot of my clients dried up. And at that point, too, things were shifting into the social media world. And right. I was trying to figure out, what's a content writer, what's a copywriter going to do? And then, it's just like what's going on now with COVID-19. It was a pivot. And I started, content marketing was coming onto the scene. And I found out about HubSpot. And I was like, wow, I can just, not only do they need content, they need lots of content. And they need lots of copies, things like that. I would say, we do a lot of blogging. But we also do a lot of through the whole stage of the customer journey. And, we're doing landing pages, we do web pages, we do blog posts, we're doing webinars now and ads and things like that. But I think that the need for the creativity, it's changed a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, let me pause you for a second. So if I understand correctly, there was this shift, because when you were writing ad copy kind of pre-computers, you weren't trying to hit a keyword necessarily. It really was just trying to be creative to engage the reader, right? Kind of the human mind.
Oh, yeah.
And then as you do have that transition, you talked about social media. HubSpot was a big one, or really any of the, you know, Google Analytics, kind of the quantitative aspect of language became important too, I guess is one way of saying it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, when I was writing ad copy, we didn't even know what a keyword was. It didn't even exist at all.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, a guy like, Andy Crestidina and, you know, search engine optimization ruined it for all us creative writers. But, but you know, it also made us more important, because, you know, suddenly our content, you could drive traffic and you could show results, and very clear results from the content you produce. But I think in terms of the creativity, it's just shifted a little bit in that you need to apply your creativity to problem solving and coming up with different ways to approach things. Like, okay, we're going to put on a webinar. Well, what are we going to call it? And what's going to be the, you know, what's it all about? And, you know, how are we going to make this appealing to the target market out there? We just did a webinar for one of our clients who is they do vision therapy, and they also help people overcome their learning problems if they have a vision issue. So a lot of their customers are parents whose kids are struggling in school. Well, suddenly all these kids are at home now. They're not at school.
Right.
So we could feel the need that was out there. And so, you know, we put together a webinar on like how to stay sane and help your kids, improve at school, and just built it around that. So, I mean, it's like, it's just a different kind of creativity out there, but there's so much content that you need to stand out. And I'll give you one more example. We have we specialize in manufacturing, and boy, if you look at some of the manufacturing content out there, it's just beyond dull.
Right.
To a certain point, it needs to be. I mean, it needs to be straightforward and factual. And, you know, a lot of the engineering manufacturing types abhor marketing fluff. So you have to be careful. But like, we did a blog post for a client, and one of the headlines was that they got these really tight tolerances and produced this coating that was, it was very thin. These like down to these microns, minuscule amount of coating on this thing. And all we did was say, we changed the headline to read something like, how to get ridiculously thin. That word, when you put all, there was like the client said that their post came out in a lineup from this trade show with all the other posts, and there's all these drab ones. And the guy said people were going and reading the post, and they told him just because of that word just caught their attention.
The creativity has gone upstream a little bit, kind of like you were mentioning with the ad agency, kind of the conceptualization and kind of coming up with kind of the campaign. It's almost more important to be creative up front so that then the tactics can flow from that. Would that be right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you definitely, you need to grab them, you know, you've got what, 5-15 seconds or whatever.
Right.
Stuff coming so fast. So yeah, absolutely. I also think the other thing, and you know, you're a writer, you appreciate this. The need for clarity now has just become so much more important. Especially, we're writing value statements, value propositions, I'm sorry, on a website. So what is that first thing people are going to see?
Right.
Boy, when you really try and whittle that down and get to the essence, that produces some really good writing. I mean, I love it. It really cleaves, it gets you down to the bone. And, I think that's just clarity is something that I feel is really emerging in a positive way. from, just the amount of content that's out there. It's, you know, the creative writing wins, but it's also clarity. And I'm always like, I work with a number of writers for the content, you know, they hate me because I'm just, you know, I was like hacking away at their stuff. And I'm like, can you not say this, you know, easier? And then every writer needs an editor. I know I'll give them my stuff to them and they'll do the same thing back to me. But
we need like two or three usually.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's interesting you say that because over the last couple of years, I've really gained an appreciation for writers that like are funny, like humor writers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've actually had people tell me that my writing, while engaging, isn't necessarily as funny as I am in real life. And maybe they're just trying to say that I'm not that funny, but you know, I think I'm pretty humorous. but part of that's on purpose because trying to be funny and write clearly can be very hard. And I've learned to kind of go, okay, instead of worrying about the humor, make the point succinctly and clearly. And so I've actually gained an appreciation for people that can do both because I'm definitely not there yet. Like, so the humorous essayists, you know, like a David Sedaris, for example, I'm like, wow, that's really hard to do, to be clear, to make the point you're trying to make, but then also make me laugh, right?
Yeah, boy, that, I mean, I feel like, and I feel your pain with your business writing, because I like to write satire. And satire has no place in business writing unless you're writing. You know, I've also often thought it'd be fun to launch a satire version of The Onion or a business version of The Onion. And it's probably out there already.
I was like, I think a satire version of The Onion is the Wall Street Journal. Right.
So I like to write humor and satire. And every now and then I'll try and write, like, I think I'm going to write a funny blog or something like that. I'm like, this isn't working. This isn't what I like to do because I got to make fun of people. And, you know, the business writing, we're trying to help people and give them information. And, you know, so I guess unless you're writing like more of an opinion piece, which is fine. I don't know.
Right. Something that I've found too is that a lot of humor actually stems from a shared understanding of the gray area, right? Like it's kind of understanding the unstated and the fact that you get it as the reader and the person who writes it gets it. Like that's where a lot of the humor comes from.
Right.
And that's the exact opposite of clarity. Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to have your reader put in effort to read. You want them to get it right away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
And so I've over the years continued to winnow it down. I used to use a lot of parentheticals when I wrote because I wanted to put a little joke in here and there. Mm-hmm. And then after enough editors have taken it out, I'm like, okay. It took me years, but I've learned the lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally, you kind of mentioned, you know, the changing landscape because we are recording this during the COVID pandemic. One of the things that I'm finding interesting, and I think we were already on this path, but I mean, is there such thing as content overload or content fatigue? Because especially now, because everybody's home, I mean, the number of podcasts that are out there have skyrocketed. You know, there's webinars every which way. Is there a point where it just becomes self-defeating? I mean, I don't know if that's really about creativity, but I'm just, does that mean that you have to continue to be more and more creative to stay on, you know, to surf that edge, so to speak?
I'll ask you this. Are you reading less now?
It's a really good question. As far as...
Are you watching less TV? Are you reading less? Are you consuming less content?
I'm consuming the same amount of content.
Yeah.
I would say that. Like, I'm not a big TV watcher. I'm usually always reading a book. And, you know, there's a few kind of online sites that I will read their articles. But that's about it.
Yeah. You should watch Succession, though. That is required viewing. Absolutely.
But, all right. All right.
Yeah. But I think that, this has been something that's been talked about for years now, the last couple of years at least. And there is more and more content that everyone is producing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's an overabundance of quality content. And there's, you know, I still think
very true.
still, you know, there's so much stuff I just see as blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, then you've got the gems and you've got people who are going to hit you right in the head and right between the eyes with what they're talking about. So,
right.
You know, this has been going on since back in the ad days, you know, still there's so much advertising. You still always have to find your way through. But if you can find out what people are really looking for and deliver it in a great in quality and, you know, build your audience as you're building an audience, I mean, people will come back to you and they'll trust you more than ever now. I mean, maybe that's part of the point too, is with all this content, it's like, I rely on my go-to sources more than ever.
Right. That's interesting because the idea of lowering the barrier to entry to creating content. I mean, what did a blog do circa 2003? Well, everybody can be a quote-unquote journalist, or everybody has a platform. They can write something and have it be seen. And then we had YouTube created video. So all of a sudden that barrier to entry came down. Podcasting. Everybody can run a radio show. But just because the barrier to entry is lower, you're right. Yes, there's the gems that maybe wouldn't have been discovered or had the opportunity and now did. But in the end, there's still kind of the same amount of good quality content. And you're right. It's like going to people that you trust, that you know, not only do they know what they're talking about, but they're going to deliver it in a good way. You mean like with good production value. That's still just as important as ever. Would that be right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Do you think, and maybe this will be our little time capsule of what was going on in the pandemic. We'll see if we're right about this. What do you see changing because of coronavirus and kind of the new environment that we're in, both from a public health standpoint, but also, of course, from an economic standpoint? We are in it. We don't really know, you know, where the end line is or what the new normal will look like. What do you see happening with marketing and content because of that?
Whew.
Again, small questions. We just deal with small questions. This is just a guess. We're not saying you don't have to tell the future, right?
Yeah. You know, I don't see dramatic changes in people as far as consuming content. I mean, obviously everybody is probably online more. Maybe they're doing more things like Zoom and
right.
Maybe they're reading. I mean, everybody's reading the news compulsively now and for good reason. But as to what will change, you know, I'm going to go back to, I remember reading a book about copywriting, and this was back in the days, you know, again, this when we were just doing brochure copywriting and we were doing advertisements, and the guy ended up the book, he's like, you know, who knows where this will go next. And, you know, at that point there was this big technology hurdle. So, you know, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have content marketing, didn't exist. And so in today's present, you know, state, I don't really see like a big shift. I think the big shift is more going to come with the next innovation in content next technological innovation. So maybe, you know, maybe if everybody's sitting at home and we have nowhere to go, maybe virtual reality will suddenly enter into it. And suddenly, you know, we're going to be creating virtual reality experiences and augmented reality and all that stuff. And that's going to be some kind of game changer as the technology comes along and we can create all this, you know, all these experiences. One of my favorite movies of all time is Brainstorm. Did you ever see this movie?
I did not. Okay. I'll put it on my list.
Oh, yeah. It's early Christopher Walken and Natalie Wood.
Okay.
Natalie Wood's last movie before she died. In fact, I think she died during the filming of it. She dropped. It's an amazing movie, and I won't give it away, but it deals with virtual reality, and Christopher Walken is fantastic in it. But they go, they, you know, they begin to market this this experience with virtual reality. And so who knows, you know, maybe it's going to be some kind of innovation like that. But, you know, where we're at right now, I just think if we can get COVID-19 under control, there's just going to be a month-long party and, you know, like, I was talking with my wife of like, we're going to be out to eat every night. You know, I'm coming down to the long room and hanging out with you guys. It's like going to be a free for all for a while. So then probably no content will be consumed. Everybody just be like hugging each other and stuff like that.
Right. Well, and as you said, I don't even know if it has to be a party. I think I'll just enjoy being able to go sit in a coffee house, even just sit there, you know, and yeah, not have to worry.
Yeah.
I've already told my wife that we're going to call grandma and grandpa and drop the kiddo off for about a week. And I think grandma and grandpa would like that because they're only getting screen time.
Right.
But I love him, but, you know, a little break would be nice. But I think you're right that it's going to be some sort, which we don't know what it is right now, but some sort of technology. Or the other thing I thought it could be is maybe not even a technology, but maybe just a social change. And I don't know if COVID's enough to drive it, but over the last 10 years, for example, with social media, just an example, we've become very comfortable with kind of the invasion of privacy or the lack of privacy protection, maybe is a better way of saying it. Mm-hmm. And you already started to see kind of a reaction against that. If governments really crack down on social media, you know, that would take away that whole channel. Then would something else open up? Yeah, I don't know. We don't have to figure it out. But until virtual reality can help us hang out together in a bar, I don't know if it's really that useful. And speaking of hanging out in a bar, what beers are you drinking these days? Ha ha! Excuse me. I have to look at that segue. I did it. I did a segue finally.
Nicely done.
I mean, I know you run a series up in Madison where you actually run marketing events at breweries. I had a chance to speak at one of those, but are there any favorites of yours up there?
Well, I think I mentioned you gave me a little survey before we did this and asked that question. And I'm kind of a summer winter guy. So in the summer, okay, I really like the New England, the IPAs, the hazy IPAs.
Ah, yeah.
And then in the wintertime, I'm a porter and oatmeal stout kind of guy. But, you know, I'm getting a little, I'm kind of drifting away a little bit from the beers every now and then. It's just like I get a little beer logged and I'm drinking a little like.
That happens.
Yeah. I mean, I sampled some bourbon. My dad loves bourbon and loves his Maker's Mark. And so I'm like kind of tried that for a little bit. I found it was like almost, and I like it in some cases, but I'm drinking a little Añejo tequila now.
Oh, very good.
Kind of nice. But, and just, you know, some red wine, but definitely moderating as I get a little bit older. It's very nice to just wake up feeling really good. So,
well, as you get older, you don't need help feeling creaky and sore.
Right. Now do some yoga, man. I'm starting to do that. That is like, that's been a life changer.
I love the yoga. There's nothing wrong with doing yoga with a little bit of a hangover. And let's face it, Greg, you live in Wisconsin, so you can say anything you want about beer. You'll come back to it. You're the prodigal son. You know, it's beer's just going, oh, you'll return.
Oh,
you'll,
I know. I'm there. I'm just not at the, I am drinking beer. I'm just not at the level I once was. Let's just put it that way.
That's fair. What's one of your favorites, Madison breweries? Because there's some good ones up there right now. I love Ale Asylum. They actually distribute down here in Chicago, and that's been some delicious beers. Anything stand out?
Yeah. So what we were doing when we brought you up here, we ripped off Andy Crestedina's Wine and Web event, and we started up here, and we called it craft marketing. And so we started out going to different breweries in town and bringing in marketing speakers and then just having a couple drinks. And then it was logistically got to be kind of a hassle. So we settled on just this one brew pub up here called Vintage Brewing. And they've got a place on the west side, and then they've got one downtown. They've actually got one out of town as well. But they have some really, they just have a wide variety of some really good beers. So Vintage Brewing, really good. You know, I live on the west side where I'm right by like the Great Dane Brewery, which is always fun. Cafe Hollander is out here, and they've got a bunch of different stuff. And then one of my favorites is Brasserie V.
That one I've not heard of.
I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. It's not a brew pub, but boy, is it a great place to go in and get some Belgian beers, which is
one
of my faves, yeah.
Does Cafe Hollander do a lot of Belgians too?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they got to play some Milwaukee, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I can walk down the street to that. And in fact, as soon as we're down here, I might just go Jimmy the Lock and get in there. I can't. This is too much.
it gets tempting, right? I mean, one of the things that I do appreciate is that a lot of the craft breweries here in Chicago, at least, you know, are still considered essential businesses. So their tap rooms aren't open, but you can still go in and get a growler, get some fresh beer. And
yeah,
you know, I just tell my wife, we got to support local businesses. You know, it's not about me getting more beer. I just have to support the other small business community, you know, here in Chicago.
You're a trooper, Fish.
Somebody's got to do it. Sometimes I think she even kind of half believes me, just sometimes. But is Vintage Brewery the one that I came up to?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that theirs was, they had great beer.
Yeah.
Well, and it's always a good thing to see craft brewing taking hold in Wisconsin, because it is fighting against some of the big dogs up there. I went to high school blocks from the Miller Brewery, and so they've got some competition. But it's good that they're taking root and being successful. It's good to see.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I think we could keep talking, but as we often have, over a non-virtual reality beer. But I think this sounds like a good place for us to kind of wrap things up. I always ask my guests at the end of the show, what's one piece of advice that you'd give someone to help them have a better day today?
Boy, I think especially in today's day and age, if there's any tip I could give, would be just to stay positive and keep working. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. And the worst thing you can do is right now just sit and fret and worry. Keep exploring, keep probing and finding, you know, if you need to pivot, whatever. This is the time to get creative and just keep exploring. You need to be engaged right now and working harder than ever. We're very much in flux. There's no doubt about it. But just keep yourself active and involved right now. Get off your keister and get to work.
All right. Love it. Greg, thanks for joining me today. What's a good way for people to get a hold of you if they want to follow up?
Our website is winbound.com, W-I-N, B as in boy, O-U-N, D as in dog.com, or D as in D fish.
There you go.
And then you can email me at greg.michio@winbound.com too. Or find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn too, and I'd love to link in with you.
Sounds great. I love it. Well, thank you for joining us, Greg. And thank you, of course, to our sponsor, Urban Renewal Brewery. I am completely finished with my Kiss Kolsch, which was delicious. And you were talking about darker beers. They actually have a lovely Schwartz Weather. And it's a Schwartz beer. It's a black lager, which is a nice dark beer. You should definitely check it out. And they distribute all the way throughout the Chicagoland area. If you are not in the Chicagoland area and you can't get an Urban Renewal beer, I would suggest go out and support your local craft brewery, because they're a small business and they could use the help. So
where's their tap room?
Urban Renewal's tap room, which their tap room is not open, but they do have a bottle room where you can walk in and buy their beer, is right in Ravenswood, which is a neighborhood in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And right by the long room, which you had mentioned before.
Yeah, those are my old stomping grounds. So.
Yep, we hung out there more than once. Check them out. And with that, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Hope you had a good time. I know that we did. And we'll see you next time on Beer, Beats, and Business.
Thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. We all know the best way to find out about a new podcast is through our friends. So please help us out and share what we're doing through social media, or just tell someone. And if you could do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Want to get in on the conversation? Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar. And we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business. We'll be right back.